Tainus Daf Yud. We left off right at the top of the page. Yud. I'm now continuing on the top line. We're continuing in some Agadah Gemaras regarding rain and other similar topics. And then finally, in Milda Amud Aleph, actually, we'll get to the Mishnah, two Mishnahs, the second Mishnah and the third Mishnah of our Masechta, which get back to the discussions of when we start saying the Saint Talmud Tavracha and when we start the fast. That's the name of the Masechta, really, Tainus, is based on these ideas of fasting, specifically in our parak for lack of rain. We'll have other fasts later in the Masechta. Okay. Says the Gemara, top line of the page. Tanabon. Eretz Yisrael was created first from the rest of the world. And the rest of the world was created after Eretz Yisrael. Shnemar Ad Shlei Asa Eretz V'chutzes. Before he made the land and the chutzes. Sounds like land first, then the chutzes. Land meaning Eretz Yisrael. Of course, Eretz is the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the chutzes of the land, so Eretz came first. We're going to have four or five members as to things that are specific to Eretz Yisrael and then followed by the rest of the world. First one is actual creation. Second one of the Braisa. Eretz Yisrael Mashka Yisrael Akash Baruch Hu Batzmai. Eretz Yisrael Akash Baruch Hu himself waters Eretz Yisrael. He brings the rain to Eretz Yisrael, brings the water. The rest of the world gets watered via a shliach. Shenemar ha-naisin matar al pnei aretz, v'shleach mayim al pnei chutzes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's naisin matar on the pnei aretz, and he sends the water al pnei chutzes. So one is direct and one is indirect. Chutzes at Eretz Yisrael is indirect. Eretz Yisrael itself is direct. Next, din number three, or not din, but chiluk number three. Eretz Yisrael sheisa megishavim. Eretz Yisrael drinks rainwater, which is more nisbarich. Rainwater is more special than the leftover water, so to speak, which goes to the rest of the world. Chalam kulei mitamtzes drinks from the leftover water from the clouds, not the main rainwater. It's not as special, not as mevayruch as the rainwaters. The times we have by shechita, we shecht an animal. The first dam that comes out is dam nefesh. That's the dam which the ikur isra chila of dam is. That's the dam which is kosher for zrika. That's dam nefesh. Then we have the dam later on that drains for the animal. That's called the dam tamsis, kind of the leftover dam. It's the dam tamsis. Same idea. Okay, of tamsis. Eretz Yisrael, the fourth chilek, I should say. Eretz Yisrael sheisa tchila. Eretz Yisrael drinks first. And the rest of the world drinks after Eretz Yisrael finishes drinking. Shemar hanaisa matar al pnei aretz. Mashal, what's the mashal? Adam shegabas gmin, a person who's making cheese. And when he makes the cheese, he separates the solid, which is the cheese, from the whey. The whey still has some value, it's still something, but not nearly as much as the cheese. Naitas aichel, he takes the food component, the solids, and leaves over the psalas, which still has value, but not nearly the same as the cheese. So too, Eretz Yisrael gets the best rain, the rain from Hashem directly, the initial rains, and the other lands, because so they get the leftovers after Eretz Yisrael is done. First, Eretz Yisrael picks it over, so to speak, and then the other lands get the leftovers. A couple points on this brisa, just gave four chalukim between Eretz Yisrael and Chutzlars. The last three seem to not necessarily overlap. The last two for sure, that Eretz Yisrael gets the rain and Chutzlars doesn't get the rain, gets like the leftovers, and Eretz Yisrael gets first, and then Chutzlars, those two seem to certainly overlap a bit. But before we go there, just step by step. On the idea that Eretz Yisrael was created first and the rest of the world afterwards. So there's a Gemara we had in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet. So we had this a couple months back, not so long ago. We had in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet. The Gemara discusses that where was the world created from? What was the starting point for creation of the world? The Gemara discusses Eved Shasiya. The Gemara discusses Me'emtsa, from middle of the world, from Me'emtsa, from the Stadon of the world. The Gemara brings it aside that it started from Tzion. The world was created from Tzion. It's one of the Stadon. Says Gvur Sarei, our Gemara clearly is just siding with the Gemara in Yuma Nandala, the tzad in the Gemara that says the world, the start of creation was from Tzion. That's our Gemara. Eretz Yisrael Nivratchi. Eretz Yisrael was created first, and then from there, the rest of the world afterwards. So our Gemara is just elaborating on that tzad that the world creation started from Tzion. It was first Tzion. Tzion is Yerushalayim. The rest of Eretz Yisrael, then the rest of the world. That's how our Gemara would stem with that Gemara specifically, that tzad of the Gemara of Tzion. Now, based on this, the Chassam Sefer in Yeridea and Tshuva, Reish Lamadal, has a beautiful Yisayid. He is bothered by the question. The Gemara says in many places, the Gemara mentions that Eretz Yisrael is Gevaya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. Because I'll say, Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all lands, Yerushalayim is the highest part of Eretz Yisrael. And Chassam Sefer, it sounds great, but in reality, in terms of physical height, Hermon seems to be a lot higher than Yerushalayim, right? The Chassam Sefer is very bothered. What does that mean? Eretz Yisrael is higher than all the lands around it. What exactly does that mean? It's higher. Says the Chassam Sefer in, again, Yeridea Tshuva Reish Lamadal, he brings that the world we know is round. The world is round. It's a sphere, which means really depends on what your point of reference is what's higher, what's lower. Nothing's here higher or lower. So really, what should be the deciding factor? What started first? If whatever started first is your origination point, that could be viewed as a high point, and everything around it could be lower, for, depending on how you spin that circle. So once we've established the Eretz Yisrael is where the world was created from, it's the first part of creation, and the world is round, the world is a sphere, so not fair to say, even if you're standing physically, it seems like, okay, Yishlaim and Chamer still seems a little difficult, but it seems like Eretz Yisrael is not the highest point. It is, because that's the origination, that's where it all started from, and that has the din, the status of the highest point, whether it appears to be the highest point or not. Interesting idea from Sefer, but the basis, again, is this idea from our Gemara. Now, we did say in the second chiluk of the Braisa, that was chiluk number one, the Eretz Yisrael is created for us. Chiluk number two, the Eretz Yisrael gets rained directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu, whereas the other lands get rained through a shliach. Do we forget the Gemara we had literally 8 blot ago? Daf Beza Menala. For the Gemara said in the Bible of the Amid, the Gemara said, Gimma Maftechas, HaKadosh Baruch kept for himself. One of them was a Maftech of rain. Everywhere, seemingly, the rain should come directly from Hashem and not from a Shliach. And we discussed already back then, besides for the examples of maybe it could be Le'itim, not Le'ilam. Maybe it could be, but this sounds like Le'ilam. Maybe it could be. Maybe it doesn't mean that it's coming from not from Hashem. It just means it's still Hashem's in control of it. But some he gives the shliach kind of the intermediary. He gives the shliach the rain, who then in turn gives it to the rest of the world. But Eretz Yisrael, Hashem gives it directly. This could still be all from Hashem. Verse 3 says very simple that in Eretz Yisrael is where those three maftechas apply. HaKadosh Baruch kept maftechas for himself in Eretz Yisrael. Those three maftechas of Chaya, right? The maftechas began on the Beis Ben Aleph. We're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu kept those maftechas for himself in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz, these maftechas can be the maftech of Chaya, the maftech of Tchias HaMesim, and the maftech of Gishamim could be given to a shliach outside of Eretz Yisrael. And this idea, sounds like chiddush, but limiting the idea of Nafbeis now very much to Eretz Yisrael. But now, we're rather making probably answer some of the gashas from the Shrine back then. Either were scenarios where we see the maftechas seem to have been by other people. So we gave various answers, but one answer could be that perhaps some of those stories were not Eretz Yisrael, so the gashas never start according to this verse 8. But now, this idea fits beautifully with the Ramban and Achremis. The Ramban and Achremis, he elaborates on the Kadosh Baruch Hu's connection to Eretz Yisrael as opposed to the rest of the world. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a much more direct hashkacha, which makes, therefore, people more accountable for the Averis. And on the flip side, there's more bracha in Eretz Yisrael because the Kadosh Baruch Hu has more of a direct yad as opposed to an indirect yad everywhere else, which fits exactly with what we seem to be saying in our Gemara. This Ramban and Achremis, other Shana being the same idea elsewhere as well. It fits beautifully with this concept that there's more of a the Gemma of Teichas, or Dafk in Eretz Yisrael that Hashem kept for himself, not elsewhere. This with this Yisoid, the Hamik Bracha answers a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara Megillah brings in the middle of Masechta, I would say roughly around Daf Yedalah, Tesvav, I don't remember the exact plot, but the Gemara brings a question, why don't we say Halal on Purim? Why is there no Halal on Purim? And the Gemara over there in Megillah brings three reasons. One reason we don't say Halal on Purim is because Kriyasa Zu Hilula, the reading of the Megillah, Kriyas Megillah, isn't B'makam Halal. Another reason the Gemara brings is that Akati Avdech HaShverish, that when we left Mitzrayim, we were no longer Avadim, we were Mamish, we were free, we say Halal. When we were saved from the evil plans of Haman, we still were Meshubit, subservient to Achaferish, and therefore we don't say Halal. The Gemara means the third answer over there, you don't say Halal on an Eish of Chutz Laaretz. An Eish that took place in Chutz Laaretz, we don't say Halal. It's Yis Mitzrayim, was obviously very good. Yis Mitzrayim was obviously in Chutz Laaretz. And Achami, till we got to Eretz Yisrael, meaning, of course, the others were there way back when, but till we conquered it as a nation, Eretz Yisrael, then a nes outside Eretz Yisrael would still warrant Hallel. But once we got to Eretz Yisrael, a nes out of Eretz Yisrael doesn't warrant Hallel. Why? What's the difference between a nes in Eretz Yisrael and a nes out of Eretz Yisrael? Says Hamik Bracha, our Gemara. Because just like we see a Kadosh Baruch Hu is more of a direct yad, and he's more of a shkacha in Eretz Yisrael day to day, the nisim of Eretz Yisrael, because that line is more direct and more clear as opposed to nisim elsewhere, and that's where the nisim of Eretz Yisrael get a Hallel, and the nisim out of Eretz Yisrael don't get a Hallel. Again, this idea of Hamik Bracha explaining the Gemara Megillah is also understandable much better with our Gemara over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals directly with Klal Yisrael, with the rain in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to everywhere else. Amar Matkin Heim Bavim. So we said yesterday, we ended off the shir with a machlekes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Ezer, whether the rain originates from the oceans, that's Rabbi Ezer, and then it evaporates upwards into clouds and then comes down as rain, or according to Rabbi Shimon, no, the rain is stored in Shemayim. The waters that come down as rain are really stored in Shemayim. Yeah, he agrees there's a concept of clouds, he agrees there's a concept of evaporation that makes the clouds, but that's not what the rain is. The clouds kind of open up, and the rains that are in Shemayim, the water stored in Shemayim, falls through the clouds as rain. That was the machlekes Rabbi Ezer. We asked that if it comes from the ocean, how is the rain not salty like the ocean? And we said because the clouds sweeten it, which we explained yesterday. We spoke out from the Ibn Ezer, from the Ilm of the Shir, actually wanted to say it as well, that the way it works is not so much that the clouds sweeten it, but really the pshat is that the salt stays down below in the ocean. As the water evaporates upwards, the salt doesn't come up with. However, this Gemara actually, again, is mashma a little more. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the clouds sweeten it, and this Gemara is mashma a little bit that way as well. By the way, Amamar, we're on that topic now. We said that the salt waters of the oceans become sweet through the clouds. Menole, Damar, where's the concept? Where did you even get this concept from? Damar, we have two psukim that seem almost identical. There's four words, and the four words are identical besides for one letter. Cheshchas mayim avish chakim, uchsiv chashras mayim avish chakim. The third letter of the first word is either cheshchas with a chaf or cheshras with a resh. Otherwise, the rest of the pasuk is the same. Cheshchas mayim avish chakim, chashras mayim avish chakim. What does that teach me? Shkol kaf, take the letter chaf and put it together, v'shadei resh, put it next to the resh, so it should be chachorash. Read it, kori bay. Chachsharas. We know a hey and a ches could be somewhat interchangeable. So instead of chachsharas, it should be hachsharas. Hechsher. What's a hechsher? Hechsher means to prepare something, to make it kosher, to be machsher it, to prepare it. So reading the words now as the chachsharas mayim is the avish chakim. The clouds is what prepares the water. That's our remez. But putting together two different spellings of the word to create a new word, puts together a new word of the clouds preparing the water, making it suitable. That's a remnant to the clouds getting rid of the salty ocean water and making it sweet, so to speak. It's not sweet, just means it's not salty. Rabbi Shua, what's Rabbi Shua going to do with this rush? Remember, Rabbi Shua said the rain never came from the ocean. It always comes from the storage houses in Shemayim, the storage containers of water in Shemayim. So what does he do with this drasha? Bahani kramai av darshibu. What is darsha with these psukim? Sarva like Yeha, he holds it the following member, the chiasar of dimi Amar, the chiasar of dimi Amar, Ami Barav, when dimi came, he said, when he came to Bavli, he said, this is what they say, in Eretz Yisrael, Nahar anani, zir mahi. If the clouds are light, zir mahi, then the waters are, you know, limited. Chashachanani, if the clouds are dark, then Sigiyamai, it's going to be a lot of water. So we're looking at the clouds. Cheshchas, if it's a dark cloud, a lot of water. If it's light, then it's going to be much less water. That's how he attaches the pasukim, and he doesn't have, because he doesn't use it for the sweetening of the water in the clouds, because he knows the rain doesn't come from the clouds. Anyway, it really comes from Shemayim above. Okay. Says the Gemara. Who's go like this? We learned in a brisa again. Rias back. We're back to Rias in that conversation with Tibbalez Rishua. That's how we ended off yesterday's daf as well. Who does it go like? Remember that we say that the waters up in Shemayim, the waters that stay in Shemayim, are suspended by the Maimer of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said they should stay where they are. This is in the Sheishim Bereishis, and they remain there in the Maimer of Hashem. Upreisei Meik Shemayim. The fruit. Here's the key words. Part of this statement of the brisa. The fruit of these waters in Shemayim is the rainwater that comes out of them. That sounds very clear. The rainwaters are coming, originating from Shemayim, not from the ocean. Shemayim pre-masech tisbaras, from the pre of Yemayim, the earth, the land is satiated from the pre of the masecha of the waters in Shemayim. The simple understanding is like Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Lazar, what's he going to do with this brisa? How's he explain this pasuk? More importantly, in the brisa, because he can see the tonic argument the brisa, but how's he explain the pasuk? Just referring to the original Sheishis Meirashis. In the original Sheishis Meirashis, there was in the Shemayim, there was this moisture, this water was all loose and it was all roaming around. And Akash Baruch Hu b'maimer, he caused it to stay stolid in its place, to be locked up in its place. But that doesn't mean that's where the rain comes from. The system of having lots of rain above, and more so, plenty of rain below, and the rain below getting into the evaporation and going to the clouds and becoming the water below, I should say, going into evaporation, becoming clouds, which will lead to rain. All that was done by Sheishim Vibrations, and that's what's referring to the pasuk, not just the rain in Shemayim. Before we go further, there's a nice, more of a derech drush, a nice little diak from the Chidushei Harim. He's bothered, why do we call it Yerushamayim? Yiras Hashem makes perfect sense. Understand what's Yiras Shemayim? B'chol, the name Shemayim, right? We know it comes because there's waters. Waters on earth, waters in heaven. So it's called Shemayim. But why is it called Yiras Shemayim? Yiras Shemayim. So you must say beautifully that we're seeing our Gemara that the lush of this price was Mayim HaYainim B'mayim Rehain Tluyim. The waters in Shemayim and the Yainim in the heavens, they're totally B'mayimer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Mayimer 5,700 some odd years ago that they should stay in their place during Sheishim Bereishis. And that's how they stay. They're still stuck in their place. They're tluyim in the Maimer of Hashem. Hashem gave a memra, and that's what they are. They're stuck. They're not. They were loose, and now they're blocked in, so to speak, they're boxed in by the mimer of Hashem. So we're not just talking about Yiras Hashem, we're kind of giving a remez to something, this is talking about water in particular, but something which is taka still been steadfast for thousands and thousands of years in the listening to the mimer of Hashem. So it's kind of a inspiration in while mentioning the concept, and we say therefore Yiras Shemayim, not just Yiras Hashem, to reference this idea of the water kind of congealing and staying in its place. Okay. The entire world drinks from the tamtzis, like leftover waters of the Gan Eden. Like the Pasuk says, Vinar Hayetzim Eden, there was a river that flowed from Gan Eden. It's mashma that Eden had their initial waters, and there was a Nar that went out from Eden, and that watered the rest of the world. The Mar's Mir Brisa that actually brings a right to this, but elaborates further. Tana. From the leftovers of a base core, you can give water for a tarkav. What's a tarkav? Tarkav is really, tarkav means tray, that's tar, tough phrase, tray is two, of course, and kav. Kav just means the measurement of a kav. But it's two kavs plus a kav, which is three kavs. It's a funny way of saying it, but it's a way of saying three kavs. Tarkav is three kavs. How many kavs are in a sa? Six kavs. Six kavs are in one sa. How many sa's are in a base core, which is the larger number we discussed here? The larger number here is base core. Base core is 30 sa. And we're saying the leftovers of 30 sa is enough to water Tarkav, three kavs, which is a half a sah. So basically, every 30 sah of watering has leftovers enough to water a half of sah. So it's basically a 60th of what it was initially set out to do. There's leftovers for 1/60th extra. Let's keep that in mind. Tanarban. Eretz Mitzrayim, Dalmeis Parsis, Dalmeis Parsis. Eretz Mitzrayim is 400 parsis by 400 parsis. This actually is brought down in the place because it's very relevant. Lalacha, because we know we're not allowed to go back and live in Mitzrayim. It's Pasuk Chumash, we're not going back to live in Mitzrayim. Yet we know over time, different Gedalim, different times of history, Yidden until today are living in Mitzrayim. Yidden, even as recently as 100 years ago, Yidden were living in Mitzrayim. There's people that still go to yard sites, especially in the Sephardi world, the Nebuchadnezzar family. People go to yard sites in Mitzrayim to their ancestors that are buried there. We know, going back further to Rishayim, Rambam lived there. So discussions, how they're able to live there, what happened to this, or is it time-related, specific times? But one of the discussion points are that based on this measurement of 400 parsa by 400 parsa, it could be the land of Mitzrayim that one's not allowed to live in doesn't encompass much of what we call Egypt today. It's not the same Mitzrayim, or even Egypt of 1,000 years ago. Okay, so Eretz Mitzrayim is 400 parsa by 400 parsa. For who? Echam Hashish B'Kush, which is 1/60th. Keep that number in mind. 1/60th. 1/60th is the size of Kush. It's a question of what Kush is. If Kush is Asia or China, the Kush Echam Mishish and Vaylam Kush 1/60th of the world in general. Vaylam Echam Mishish Gan, and the world is 1/60th of the Gan. Oh, it's starting to sound Gishmak because he said before at the leftover of the waters from Gan Eden water the entire world, and we just said that 1/60th is the ratio of the extras what you have that would be the leftovers, so to speak. So the world is 1/60th of Gan. Here we separate Gan and Eden. Echam Mishish the Gan Echam Mishish and Eden, and the Gan itself is 1/60th of Eden. But Eden, which is 60 times greater than Gan, which is 60 times greater than the world, but Eden is 60 times 1/60th of Gehenim. Nimsakolam kulay kikisu kedel Gehenim. Comes out the entire world is like a pot cover for Gehenim. The world is much smaller compared to the size of Gehenim. V'yesh aymerim Gehenim ein l'shir. Some say Gehenim doesn't have a shir b'chlal. It's more than 60 times. V'yesh aymerim Eder ein l'shir. Some say Eden also has no shir. Interesting side point is that it's really born in the Rishayim. It's discussed. I think Rabban brings it that Gan Eden is a place in this world. This, we don't have access to it, and certain Tzadikim, Tamid Chachamim, when they get that opportunity, when the time is right, they'll have access to go into this Gan Eden. Clearly in this Gemara, it sounds like it's something separate, but saying the world at large is the 60th of the Gan, and the Gan is 60th of Eden, sounds like it's something separate. You could dray, but on the face of it, I'm sure the Ramban knew this Gemara, but it does sound like it's something separate, has to be dealt with in that Malach. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shemai Tachsiv, Sheikhnas Amayim Rabbim, that the people in Bavel, they dwell by the Mayim Rabbim, by the many waters. Rabbis, Eitzoris, they're abundant, are their storehouses. It's more of a question form in the Pasuk. That's the Pasuk, and the question is, what does that mean? Migan the Bavel, you Eitzos, Melees Bar. What causes Bavel to have storehouses full of produce? Havi Aimer, Mesha Shechenes al Mayim Rabbim, because it dwells by great amounts of water. This is famous. Bavel's lower down, and therefore, forget about the rain, even the rains that come, meaning the, whatever rains come, that potentially hit them as well, even what doesn't come to them directly, that which comes to other lands will roll down to them because lower down, hence the name Mabel. Rashi and Chumash, one of the explanations of the word Mabel is in the name Bavel, it corresponds to each other. Mabel and Bavel are similar because Bavel is low down and it got a lot of the waters rolled down to there, kind of like the idea of Mabel. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Asir Bavel is wealthy, the Chatzibla Mitra, they're able to reap without even having rain. They don't need direct rain. They mean they don't need direct rain. Rain goes elsewhere. Water goes elsewhere. It comes out to them anyway. We have a Masaira, Tivani Vayavashani, that it is. So either he's talking about Bavel, or he's talking about a place where a person should live in general, as the Taisus learns. But the simple Taisus, he's saying Vayit about Bavel. Bavel is swampy, and it never dries out because of its where it's located. It's lower down, therefore it's swampy, never dries out, therefore it's always good for growing things. Taisus learns that this is a Naktina, a Masaira, that people should look for when they look for places to live. Find a place, especially when people are involved in agriculture, find a place which is moist and swampy and not dried, which never dries out, and that could give us a certain level of protection against even with the lack of rain. You still have natural moisture in the area. It's just general advice, not about Bavel, about where a person should pick to live. Okay. Says the Mishnah. We actually quoted this Mishnah a couple of blah back. We had this Mishnah already back on Daf Dalan Mabez. And now this is where we're quoting it from. Begin on the third Mechesh, we ask for rain. Saying Talmud Vracha. That's not Mashruch Mergeshem. We're up. That was called Haskaras Kshamim. We had Machlekes whether or not we had Stadim, whether or not that's considered the same time as the Sheila or not. We had Machlekes about that. But clearly, this is talking about the same Talmud Vracha. So the Sheila is according to the Tanakhama, the Mishnah on the third Mechesh, Megumil Eimer B'Shivah on the seventh. Why on the seventh? Tesvav Yamachar Chag. It's 15 days after the Sukkos. Why 15 days after Sukkos? After Shmini Atzeres, I should be more specific, because that's when it comes to 50 days of end of Sukkot, end of Shmini Atzeres, because they shagia achad should be Yisrael in our pras. That enough time for the last person that went to Yisrael to reach Nar Pras. Now, reaching Nar Pras is not as far as some people can travel Eretz Yisrael, or actually Yushalayim Beis Hamikdash was not centered in Eretz Yisrael. And there are people that live the furthest part of Eretz Yisrael, away from the Beis Hamikdash, that maybe is even more than 15 days, says the Ran. The Ran points out, but still, the average person, assuming a person travels 10 parsecs a day, that we know from elsewhere, the average person, if you give him 15 days and he travels 10 parsecs a day, he'll cover plenty of ground. He'll cover enough ground to get back from being Oyla Regla. But in there, it's possible that people in Israel that won't be able to get back. So on that he says, but you have a few things. First of all, you're covering right of the people, and that's enough. Number two, even those people that you're not covering, they don't have to go 10 parsecs a day. As long as they know we're not davening for rain till the 7th, 15 days later, they could go 12 parsecs a day. They have a further distance travel. They could travel a little further. And third of all, he says, the bottom line is, we need rain for our produce. We need rain for the fields to be able to grow. So we don't, there's this balance, and we've been discussing it from day one of this Masechta, where we discussed that rain on Sukkot is a siman klal, but we said when we said there's potentially a second girsa in our Mishnah, the girsa behind the Mishnah phase was that Rav Yeshua says siman, it's a siman klal rain on Sukkot. We brought a different girsa, it's not a siman bracha. And we would die, what's the difference between the girsa that's a siman klal and not a siman bracha? Because yes, the first day of rain is like the master throwing the cup of water back in the face of the servant. The first night getting rain is like Hashem saying he doesn't want our mitzvah. That's not more of a siman klal. But the rest of Sukkot, yes, we want to have a sukkah, we want to have the mitzvah, but we also need rain for our stuff to grow. So it can't be viewed simply as 100% siman klal. Maybe it's not called siman bracha because it takes away the mitzvah of sukkah, but it wouldn't be called siman klal. We already had that idea. So that same concept, that same balance, says the Ran, plays a role also. That 15 days was considered enough, and that's when we start davening for Seyit Amad Bracha after Shemini Atzeres, which by the way would seem to be only relevant as Bana Mikdash, obviously. When you're not being regular, seemingly it should only be relevant. Keep that in mind with the next first words of the Gemara. Amar Blazer, Halacha Kareng Gamil. That we start from the 7th of Mar Cheshvan is when we start saying Seyit Amad Recha, which is by the way, of course, what we still do today in Eretz Yisrael. We start not Chutzar, so we have in a second, is different, but we start from the Halacha Gamil, that we start from the 7th of Mar Cheshvan. Ask the Ran, Hilchasil Mashicha. We don't have a basic position, unfortunately. We're not Eila Regal. So why would Halacha be relevant to follow this same pattern of what they did back then? The Ran answers big aside, and the Rush takes this a little further. We'll quote the Rush at the end of Gemara in a minute. But the Ran says, that what we're saying is, the Halacha is that we take into consideration other factors other than just when there's amount of rain, should we be asking for rain? We take into account factors of people needing to travel. Seemingly that would potentially not be a deciding factor in whether we daven for rain or not. You daven for rain in this amount of rain. No, we take into account other factors. So even though, yes, that particular zman of the 7th of Mar Cheshvan is no longer relevant because the 15-day travel from Eil Regel is not relevant because most people aren't Eil Regel. Some Rishonim, by the way, do bring that even after the Mesa Mesa was destroyed, they continue to be Eil Regel. They continue to be Eil Regel. I forgot where they bring this down. Rabbi Kana mentioned to me today. I forgot where he brought it from. But some Rishonim bring that they continue to be Eil Regel even if the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. They still would be Eil Regel. So then it was still applied for Tekufa after Eil Regel. Then it's not so shver. Rabbi Lezer is possibly maybe when it was still relevant in his days. But even if not, the Ran Lecher is not going with the Malach. The Ran says it's still relevant because we're not taking out the Pesach of day 7 as much as taking the Pesach that we take other ideas into account. That's what we're taking out for the Pesach. A whole different angle on the Pesach of what we're saying halakha gomil means that we take in these other factors. Tanya, Hanani Aymer, this is what we do. Uvagayla Shishim Tekufa. In the Gaila, we wait till the 60th day into the Tekufa, into the equinox, the season of the fall equinox from when it starts, which we know is either December 4th or December 5th. The general rule is, even though we have to go with the calendar, the calendar based on the lunar calendar, the solar calendar is extremely consistent. It's way more consistent. It's almost identical every year. Every 5 years, every 4 years, I think you have to add another day, of course, on February 29th. But for the most part, it's a 365-day year. And if you actually just as a side point, not related necessarily to this so much, but to the extent it is, if you want to know the zmanim of Shkia, of Alois, of Nates, and you don't have this year's calendar, if you could pull out last year's calendar and look at the English date, the zmanim are the same this year in English as it was last year. It's always the same, right? That calendar is always consistent. So 60 days, again, it's sometimes the 4th, sometimes the 5th, but 60 days from the autumn equinox every single year is going to be when they say it in Chutzot. Amar Vuna, Bachir Mar Shmuel, Halachanan, Halachas Echananya, Eini, Vabam Mer Shmuel, Yesh Mer Shmuel, Memes Matkir, Mesein Talmata, when do we start saying Mesein Talmata, Amalu, Michi Maili Tzivi, Lebeit Tois Rishba, when they bring the wooden to the shed of Taves. The Taves was the guy who used to hunt the birds. Basically, it's a simon that the rainy season's on. When the rainy season's on, so he brings the wood into the shed, and the rainy season's on. So that's when you start mentioning of Saint Amat Bracha. Sounds like that's a separate zman, not 60 days. Answer the Gemara, who told you it's different than this exact zman? It's a very, very interesting, very unique time when the guy, the bird hunter, starts to bring his wood into the shed. Okay, Dilma, I'm sure there's more than meets the eye on that line. Dilma, Aidvaidi, Chachiruhu. The Gemara says, not a kash anyway. Maybe it's both one and the same. It's the same zman. That is exactly 60 days. Well, exactly is going to be the next question, but that's 60 days from when the tkufa of the fall, the tkufa of autumn starts. Ibailu, when we talk about 60, yom shishim kilofei shishim agacha shishim, is the 60th day the first day of Saint Talmud Devracha, or is it the last day of not the Saint Talmud Devracha? It's the 61st day really that we start. Says the Mar Yom Shishim Kilofei Shishim Agacha Shishim. Tashma, it's a machlekes. Tashma is a machlekes. Rav Amar Yom Shishim Agacha Shishim. Ushmul Amar Shishim Kilofei Shishim. Rav says that the 60th day is taka like the 61st day. You do say Vesein Talmud Devracha already on the 60th day. Shmuel says you wait till the 60th day is not. Is like the Fneshishim, so you wait to the 61st day, according to Shmuel, Machlekes Rav Shmuel, Amar Achmitzik. What's a good way to remember it? Vesimanech, Ila Boy Maya, Tatoy Ila Boy Maya. The way to remember it is that the one who is up high, the one who was from Eretz Yisrael, required, back to the idea of being high, the one from Eretz Yisrael required what? Who's from Eretz Yisrael? Both Rav and Shmuel lived in the Bevel, but Rav started in Eretz Yisrael. Rav's family, Rav is a descendant. Rav's family started in Eretz Yisrael, right? Rav was from Eretz Yisrael first, so he's the one that's considered from Eretz Yisrael. He's up high. And he said, he needs water. And so they need water faster. So he says you start from day 60. Tatoy, the one lower down, which is Shmuel, who is always in Bevel, he says, Loi Bamai, he doesn't need water. He starts from day 61. And what's that? Takalacha, my papa. Like Rav, that the 60th day is considered like after 60 days, meaning we daven for rain ready. We say the same Saint Talmud Devracha already on the 60th day is considered like the 61st, like Rav. That's what Paschal. The general rule that we've spoken of in the past, the major klal is that when you have Machlekes Rav Shmuel, the general rule is Hilchasa Kirav Bedini, right? Over the halachas like Shmuel by Mammon and Barav by Isurei. So Dini actually is Mammon. The halachas like Rav by Isur, and I guess would be under that category as well. Halachas like Shmuel by Mammonis, and our memory tool is, just quick Chazar, what's a memory tool? There's a klal in Shas, Ein Holchim B'Mammon Achar Rave. You don't go by money after the majority. Majority is a way to paskin Shilas by Safek by Isur. But by Mammonis, you don't go Basar Rave. Take out the Vav of Rav, what do you get? You get or spell Rav Chasser, you get Rav. Ein Halcha B'Mammon Achar Rav, so Mammonis you go after Shmuel, and Isser, you go after Rav. Okay, so like the Mishnah. V'loi Egiya Yud Zayin Mecheshven. When they reached Yud Zayin, the Rush, I mentioned the Rush before, we'll quickly go through it. The Rush has a big tshuva where he wonders that we should really be asking for rain. Every country, every locale, every city even, should be asking for rain, because even within a country, it could be different parts of, and different areas have different needs. They should be asking for rain, davening Saint Talmud Avraham, based on their rain season. And we see in our Gemara that you daven based on when it makes sense. So why don't we do that? So Taka says, the Rush Taka rules that we should be asking for rain based on whatever makes sense for that locale and not based on some sort of fixed schedule of December 4th, December 5th, or Zayim HaChesven. We should have a more of a personal a timeline for Saint Talmud Avraham. That is Rush based, that we take that from our Gemara, famous Shuvah in the Rush. Based on this tshuva, they explained that Reb Chaim, legend has it, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim was makbid. We know this could be our halacha for the day, one of our halacha ma'aseh for the day, we already spoke a couple, but halacha ma'aseh for the day. The halacha is if one neglects to say Vesein Talmud Devracha starting December 4th, if he neglects to say it, he has to repeat Shemar Esrei, right? If one says it prior, separate issue, it could be Simon Klala as man, when it's not as man. You have to know if now is different. I think it is. I think it's still a problem. But if one says the same, if one says when he's not supposed to in the summertime, then we know it's a Simon Klala. But if one does not say in the wintertime, whenever this man is, to start saying Set Amat Avracha, and it's still Zayin Cheshvin, in the Chutzarts, the 7th, 4th, 7th, 5th, he has to go back and preach Shemar Esrei. We know there's an Eitzah. If one neglects to say Set Amat Avracha in Baruch Aleinu, but he remembers before he finishes, he continues Shemar Esrei, in Shemak Aleinu, he can stick in the words Set Amat Avracha in the middle of Shemak Aleinu, and then he says, Ki Ata Shemei Tefilas, right? He sticks in after again, Nusach Sfar to be Chanenu, my name is Shemat Tefilasenu, right? Depends which, when it's Nusach Ashnaz, it's, I forgot the words before that, but either way, you stick in before Kiyata, you stick in the words, the Saint Amat Avracha, and then it's okay, you Yaitza, Shemar Esrei, even though you didn't say it in spite, you Yaitza Shemar Esrei. Fine, that's an Yaitza, had to save someone for having to be Shemar Esrei. Reb Chaim would say in these Zmanim, which would be relevant for the locale to still have rain, but is no longer the Zman based on the Zmanim given in the Gemara, given in Alacha, he would say the same Bracha Baruch Leinu. And again, legend has that, I don't know who heard it, it's private Shemar Esrei, but legend has it, he would say the same Talmud of Racha in Baruch Aleinu and in Shemak Aleinu. And apparently saying in Shemak Aleinu extra does not ruin out. That wouldn't be considered a Simon Klala for being in the wrong time. And he wanted to be Yates of this rush who held they're supposed to be saying it in the time that's relevant for that locale. So that's how he's able to balance doing what's the general halacha in Baruch Aleinu and what's specific to the rush in Shemak Aleinu. This is what they say, Vishem Reb Chaim, very interesting. Okay, so like the Mishnah. He gave Yitzayim HaChashvan, he reached the 17th day of HaChashvan. So remember, we had a Machlekes that I'm already going back a bunch of blat. That's when we quoted the prior Mishnah about the 3rd or the 7th HaChashvan. We had a Machlekes whether there was 3 Zmanim for Reviyah, 3 Zmanim for when it's supposed to rain, the 1st, 2nd, 3rd rains. Either the 1st Zman was Gimel HaChashvan, which is how we started our Mishnah, that was Tanakama, who says you start B'Seit HaMat HaVracha from Gimel HaChashvan. The 2nd Zman, according to that, was Zayim HaChashvan. 3rd Zman was the 17th HaChashvan. We then had a Zman, a Shita, that the Zmanim were 7th HaChashvan's day 1, which is again the Hashtim Zerangel meal of the prior Mishnah. The next Zman is, this middle Zman is the 17th of Cheshvan, and the 3rd Zman of rain, the Revi'i Shlishis, was supposed to be on the 23rd. And now we're going to see the 3rd Shita. This Mishnah goes, we said, that simply goes like the, on the face of it, goes like the 3rd Shita, which is Rabbi Yossi, if I remember correctly, who said that the Zmanim were 17th of Cheshvan, 23rd is the 17th is the 1st Zman, the 23rd is the 2nd Zman, and the Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the 3rd Zman. So I take it back, actually. I'm sorry. This Mishnah is going to go like the Man Damar, that the 17th, again, is already the 3rd Zman. The 3rd Zman for the 3rd rain. And if it hasn't rained yet, we start our process of fasting. Let's see. Higiyah Gizayim HaCheshvan. If it reaches the 17th Mecheshvan, V'loya Diksham, and the rain still had not fallen. Hischidah Yechidim, Masan Gimel Taniyas. The Yechidim, the Anshimala, the special people, the people that are ready, that the Rabbanim, we'll see, those people are the ones that start to fast privately. They do a group of fasts, a month, Gimel Taniyas, 3 fasts on a Monday, Thursday, Monday. Specifically that order, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and not Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Mondays and Thursdays were the days they fasted. So these fasts do not start the night before, like Tishma, like Yom Kippur. Rather, they start in the morning. Umatarm, Malacha. There's also Mutter too. Malacha on those days, Rechitza. One could wash his hand, wash his body. Vesicha. One could smear himself. Vanias Sado, wearing shoes. Futash Mashmita, and relations with one's spouse. All that is permissible. These don't have the chumras of Tisha B'Av / Yom Kippur. He gave Rosh Chodesh Kislev, they heard the Shabbat, if we reach Rosh Chodesh Kislev and it's still not rain, Bezdin Geyser Shosh Taneis El Tzibur. Bezdin is now Geyser 3 Taneisim on the entire Tzibur. Now Bezdin is Geyser on the entire Tzibur. 3 Taneisim again, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Eichlum Shayis Mishcheicha. Same story again. You let it eat and drink while it's nightfall still. The fast doesn't start until the morning. Witar Melacha. And on these fast days, they're meant to do work, Bechitza, and bathing, and Sicha, anointing, moving near the sandal, leather shoes, moving Tashu Shemitah, and wear, and having relations. Okay. So, Gemara. Man Yechidim. Who are these Yechidim? Arfuna Rabbanan. The Yechidim, the Rabbanan. I believe they quote from the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a beautiful idea. The Aruch HaShulchan says that, you know, people, especially today, I don't think he's quoting this Musar Shabbai, but today we know there's a very big concept that my Rebbe, my teacher, my parent is no longer, you know, that, just that. They're also my friend. They're my friend. Right? This is more of a modern concept. And there's definitely a lot of importance to that, because it's different society. Every society needs different forms of chinuch, different forms of relationships, and particularly in today's society, it's something which to an extent is needed. But for the Rebbe / in this case the Rabbanan / the parent to think that they should be exactly and act and behave like that, like those Talmidim, says the Gemara over here, who are the Yechidim? The Rabbanan. Everyone could be doing something, and the Rabbanan do something else. They're still yichidim. They have to make sure to maintain that separation, that distance, and either Chashulchan is daikit for this Gemara. Man yichidim, Rabbanan. The yichidim, different set of behavioral of rules apply to them. From Rav Huna, more stringent to be specific. Different standards, correct. Amar Rav Huna, yichidim sadash lashet harayis, the yichidim fast, be fast, which days? Sheni chamish yichav sheni. Monday, Thursday, Monday. As we said, the Mishnah fast, be fast. He's seemingly just elaborating which days? Monday, Thursday, Monday, as opposed to Thursday, Monday, Thursday, let's say. Ask more my kamash mulan. Tanina, we learned this in a Mishnah that's coming up later this week. I think it's maybe come up on a Shabbos daf, Mr. Shem, in 5 days from now. Sheni, we learned the Mishnah. Ain geizer tainus al tzibur b'tchilah b'chamishi shalavkia es jarm. We're not geizer tainus on the tzibur on the Thursday. They shouldn't start on the Thursday. The group of fasts. Why? Because it's going to mess up the price of the market. We know Thursday is a day where people start being busy buying for Shabbos, and we know when people are fasting, what happens? People buy much more food. They go to the market. They think that the world's coming. They think it's a big famine. They buy impulse buy much more when they're fasting. You can combine these two fasts of buying for Shabbos and buying post fast food. People are going to buy out the markets. This is going to be the original supply chain issues, and it's going to lead to raising in the prices. Ella, therefore we don't do that. Therefore we don't make the fast on Thursday. Rather, the fast is on Monday first. Once you have Monday, people already are more comfortable with the notion of fasting, right? They know, you know, they fast, they eat a little bit, they get back to their normal life. They're not going to buy out the stores on Thursday. It's already the second fast in the process. Says Gemara, Ella, Shalosh Tani, says Rishonis, Sheni Chamish Sheni. They should be Monday, Thursday, Monday. So very clear already in the Mishnah that the setup of the three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, not starting with the Thursday. So what was Rav Huna adding? Our Mishnah says three fasts. Mishnah later says you do the three fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday. So what's he adding? Excellent. Very good, Emil. Mechav Temer's answer. Mal Tateim Ha'animil Tzibar Avel Yachid Loi Kamash Balan answers the Gemara. Beautiful. That mission is going when you have a Tzibar fasting. Tzibar, you're scared they're going to flood the market and they're going to buy everything, flood the market opposite way. They're going to run the market out by buying everything up, run up the market, and therefore it's a problem. Maybe by Yechidim, it's only Yechidim fasting anyway. What type of effect are Yechidim going to have on the market? And they're also the Rabbanon. Maybe we should have more confidence. Kamash Malan, then know that they still keep it. It's interesting. The way I understand the Kamash Malan is not Kamash Malan that we're worried about the messing up the market, even just Yechidim. I think that's just not true. I think it's not the Matzias. Kamash Malan that even though we're not worried about the messing up the market, still it's Monday, Thursday, Monday. Why? I'm not sure. But that seems to be the Kamash Malan of the Gemara is Kamash Malan that even though that's not a concern and it's not going to cause the prices to run up, still we do it in the same way, maybe like plug, maybe we just want to keep it set up that way, but the point is it's not, that's the Kamash Malan the way I understand it.
Why can't the Kamash Malan be that's what we need to learn this?
I'm sorry?
That's what we need
No, we know that, but why? No, why?
Oh,
why Taka? Why is it that way? So we're not saying why. We're saying we're not changing the facts. You would have thought it wouldn't run up the market. Kamashman runs up the market? No. Kamashman, we still do Monday, Thursday? Exactly. We still do it, even though it doesn't. Why? That we haven't answered. Says the Gemara. That's still start here. Tanya Mihachim, Kishashilu. The Gemara wasn't getting into that, but that's something that requires more Ian, why that is. Tana Mihachim, Kishashilu Yechidim, Masanis, when the Yechidim start fasting, Masanis, Sheni, Mechamisha, Fasheni, Taka, when the Yechidim, even when the Yechidim start fasting, they fast Monday, Thursday, then Monday. Umafsikim, Rosh Chodashim, now they have to break their fast. This is going to Braisa. That's going to back up Rav Huna, which we already backed it up with the first words, which is Monday, Thursday, Monday. And even though it's going on Yechidim, that's the part that we need to back up Rav Huna. Now, further in this Braisa, Umafsikim, Rosh Chodashim, let's say they started a series of fasts, Monday, Thursday, Monday, and one of the days end up being Rosh Chodesh. You break the series of fasts for Rosh Chodesh. You don't fast on Rosh Chodesh. It says it to the top of Ambeis, Yom Tevim, and also Yom Tevim as well, Haksub Megillas Tainus. For states of Yom Tevim, it's almost like they wouldn't even have set it up in the first place to fall out of those days, but even Yom Tevim Megillas Tainus, which are not, maybe not as fixed or not as known, if it ends up, you have to know how they would set it up fast that would overlap those days. Rosh Chodesh, you know, you didn't know for sure when it was going to come. Now we have a calendar, we kind of do, but you didn't know when it was going to come because you have the Eidim coming, but over here, Megillas Tainus, you have to know why that would be, and I think the Gemara is addressed later, but the point is, the Gemara is going to bring this price later as well, but the point is, we break the set of Gimel of Monday, Thursday, Monday if it overlaps with these days that you're not allowed to fast because of various Yom Tovim or / Rosh Chodesh. Tana Rabban.
Break
end? Tana Rabban. No, we just skip that day and we continue it. Tana Rabban. Al Yemer Adam Talmud Ani. A person shouldn't be so edel. All of a sudden, the guy's edel guy. Nah, I'm a Talmud. I'm not fit to be called a Yachid, one of the Yachidim that you fast. I'm a Talmud. I'm a Talmud. All Talmud Chachamim, anyone who's busy learning, even if he's not officially a Rav or from the Rabbanim, he's considered a Yachidim, and they should be fasting on this time. It sounds like it's not clear whether the Yachidim are mamish bechuyev to fast, or they're just supposed to. Sounds like that's the right thing for them to do. Again, it doesn't seem more clear than that. As we're saying over here, a person shouldn't say, I'm not from the Chidim, don't be honored all of a sudden. Yes. Ezer Yachid, Ezer Talmud. What is Taka Yachid and what is the Talmud? We're saying both Shafas anyway, but what what's the difference in these criteria? Yachid Kol Sharoi L'mnei Parnasas. See, Yachid is someone who's not just a Talmud Chacham, he's a leader of the community. He's able to lead over, it doesn't just mean, in Askanis, he's a leader in Halacha. He's a leader who can answer questions. He's someone they go to for Psak. In different topics, any topic. Talmud, we'll see the contrast in the next line. Talmud calls Shoshana said davar dvaralacha b'limudei v'yemer. The Talmud is somebody you can ask him in the sugya he's learning right now, and he can answer in that sugya. But the Yachid is somebody you can ask him all over, not just where he's learning. That's the level of Yachid. Those are the real leaders. The Talmud, the most of us saying. They can ask them wherever they are, and they can answer on that topic, and both of them should be fasting. Fafim Sasakala, this is a question I read what Fafim Sasakala has going on. Well, Taicha Simple, he's still called a Talmud, even if he's learning a small Masechta, like Masechta Kala, which is small, and doesn't require such a massive knowledge, breadth of knowledge, because the source material is not as large, even if his expertise is only in that small Masechta that he's learning, that's still considered enough to be called a Talmud, and therefore, he should obligate himself. He should fast with the yechidim, with the tamidim. Someone who knows less than that is not part of the group should not fast. Not everyone wants to make himself consider himself like a yachin. Could he act as if he's yachin? Nor can anyone wants to consider himself like a talmud, or all of a sudden just act like a talmud. Meaning, and I'm making stuff mean is over here in our sugya fasting. And the chayyur is done privately, but with the fasting, in other ways, he should dress certain ways. Talmud and yachid. It was very, very poor person shouldn't put himself in that category if he's not actually there. It was a more clear tier system, so to speak. Divrei Meir, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi says, Asef v'zach l'toyev. Legabi our sugya. He's not saying all over, but legabi sugya. What's he doing? He's fasting. Come on, let him fast if he wants to. It's not like he's patting himself on the back with praise. I'm from the group of Talmidim. I'm from the group of the Rabbanim, the Yechidim. He's making himself fast. Similar, Tanya Idach, we have another Brisa. Not everyone wants to make himself a Talmud, can make himself a Talmud, or Yachid can make himself a, I'm sorry, Yachid can make himself a Yachid, or a Talmud. Talmud, Rabbi Shimon Lozzer, that sounds very much like the mayor of the Friar Brisa. When do we say this? When is Tavish Shvach? Legabe, certain types of clothing, you know, the kapata, the frock, right? We talk about that. Avdavish Tsar, you want to fast? Go look and knock yourself out. It's more than knock yourself out. Do it, and you'll be remember the Taif because he's fasting on Mafakai. So, that's not considered a Shvach, that's considered a Tsar, and therefore, a person could be fasting like a Talmud, but as long as he doesn't dress like a Talmud, doesn't put himself in that category, that's fine, we have no issue. Don't worry about him. Misha is Ana al Tsar of Avra. One who was fasting because of a Tsara, and the Tsara passed. So, you know, he's still middle fasting. He's middle fasting, and the Tsara passed, the Tsara is over. What's the halacha? One more case, if he was fasting for a chayla and the chayla got better, same idea. He finishes the fast. He should continue the fast, even though the issue is no longer a problem. He should finish the fast. I think the simple idea behind this is, I think it's pretty clear, is we really had a gemara just two bottom ago, Chesam Beis. We had a gemara which Gemara described that a certain place there was a certain tikkufa with the game. The government was gazer a big zera in Klai Yisrael. I'm not exactly what the case of the gemara was, but with the gazer this specific zera, where the gazer general gazer not Torah, and within that gazer they also make zera that Klai Yisrael should be able to fast. We spoke about back then. It's unbelievable that they knew the power of fasting and they made Xerah about Klai Yisrael not being able to fast. Okay, what did Xerah do? Xerah said, let's pledge a fast in the future and the schus of that fast will already help us now. Right? That's what Xerah said. Let's pledge a fast. It'll help us then later. Once it helps us get out of the matzah, we'll then be able to fast. But what do you see from this Kvaldik? A nice chapeitza, but the eitza only works if you assume that the pledge of the fast has the power to work like the fast. If that's the case, L'chair over here, it's push it. Once you started fasting and the chayla got better, or once you started fasting and the tzara went away, of course you have to finish the fast. If I pledged the fast and didn't even start the fast, the Yeshua could happen now just from the pledge. So just because I started the fast, you know what I mean? I'm able to stop once the Yeshua came. It could be it's the overall pledge is what helped it happen. And therefore, of course, I'm obligated to finish the fast. I think it's a beautiful connection. The problem is the Gemara in Dafi Tess is going to say, and the Gemara in the first one actually asks Kasha, the Mishnah Melech asks as a question, the Gemara in Dafi Tess discusses that if they're middle fasting and it starts to rain, they stop fasting. They have a Suda, they stop fasting. It's Mabash Skir to this Gemara over here. The Gemara over there says, but there got to be rain. If they're middle fasting for rain and it starts raining, Stop the fasting. So Mishmach asks his kasha after Shimon Dagmar. Mishmach answers, "Kam biyachin kam betzipur." Agmar is talking about fast that are being done by the yachin. By the yachin, once you start fasting, you finish your fasting regardless. By the tzipur, not. So again, if my lumdus is so perfect, I'm not sure why I would apply only to the yachin, not the tzipur. But you do find such a chilik. This chilik, before we go, we'll just go further, just a couple minutes. It's late, but this chilik is a beautiful chilik used by the Shar Mitzvah Malacha to answer a kasha from the Ursameh on the Rambam. Agmar discusses that if a person is fasting for chayla, and the chilek got better. If a person's fasting because of the tzara and the tzara went away, he should complete the fast. Says Rashi, and Rabbi brings the same idea, who had in the other way?
Yes,
very good, I know you're going there. Who had in the other way? What if the chayla nebuch died? What if the tzara went away, meaning it's no more salvable, it's gone. Whatever the tzara was, you hope to salvage something, it's not salvageable, it's done. So there's no more point to fasting because you can't get the Yeshua. No, you still have to finish the fast. Azayzak, the Rashi and Rambam. Problem is, there's a story in Nach. Unfortunately, we're not all familiar as we should be, myself included. But the story in Nach, where one of, I think it's Bathsheba's son, they have, but David HaMelech was not well, and David HaMelech was fasting. David HaMelech was fasting for the son to get better. When the son died, David HaMelech right away went and had a suda. David HaMelech went right away and had a suda. Because he died. Once he died, so he said, okay, I don't have to fast anymore. So he went and he had a suda. You see very clearly, even though not like this Rambam, not like Rashi, even though the fast had started, he started the fast. And once there's no longer negiah for the chayla, fortunately, for a negative reason, no longer negiah for the chayla, the fast is no longer negiah, not like what Rambam Rashi is saying, answer the Shem Tzor Malacha, based on the Mishnah Malacha, is the difference between a tzibur and a yachid. David HaMelech, he pointed out yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu represented a tzibur. He was the schus of tzibur. We said Moshe Rabbeinu was like a tzibur. We just said that in yesterday's daf. We said at the end of Rosh Hashanah that Sarei Meinu was like a tzibur because she was the aim of the tzibur. David HaMelech too was like a tzibur. It's beautiful what we've been saying over the past couple weeks. Moshe Rabbeinu said that we make a chilul between tzibur and yachid could be the answer as well. This is not my answer. This is Shiur HaMitzvah Malacha gives this chilul, brings this Moshe Rabbeinu to answer. It's Ur Samech, whether Ur Samech Tlaib Shver, if I'm mistaken, on the Rambam with this kasha, and the Shiur HaMitzvah answers it based on the Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, a couple more lines, and we'll stop. One is traveling. They travel from a place where they're not fasting, from a place where they are not fasting, to a place where they are fasting. He fasts. Vice versa. Again, if he left from a place where they're fasting, and now he goes to a place they're not fasting, he still should undertake the fast like the people of the place he left from. What if he forgot and he ate any drink? He should not appear in front of the tzibur as if someone was eating. He shouldn't be megala tzibur that he ate, number one. He should keep it private. And the understanding is he's not going to fast anymore because he already broke his fast. Once he's not fasting, he's not fasting. However, but he shouldn't have indulged himself. He shouldn't have geshmak of foods. He shouldn't be busy eating more than necessary. Shnemar, v'yerem el Yaakov Levanav, lama tisro, why are you making yourself noticeable? Right? Why are you making yourself noticeable? Yaakov Levanav, don't show yourselves off when you're satiated. This is talking about when the whole world was in famine in the years, the Shevish Nasarov, when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, the whole world was in famine, and they had what to eat. Not only did he say, don't make yourself appear, you know, satiated that you have what you need, actually go to Mitzrayim and go to seek out to get more food because of this problem. In order that they shouldn't have jealousy of you. Actually, they went to Mitzrayim to even get the grain in order to not show off that you're not behaving in the same manner as everyone else. Last gemara, this other tikkun b'derech. Amar Blazer, Amar Blav Yosef Achim. Yosef tells his brother, once we're on a rebuke, so to speak, or a muster given to the Bnei Yaakov, to the Shvatim, we have what Yosef told the brothers when he revealed himself. Afterwards, he said, when you go back to Yaakov, al tirguzu b'derech. What does that mean? Yosef told his brother, al tasku b'alacha. Don't be busy for halacha. Shem takes away lechem derech because maybe you'll lose to get so excited and involved in halacha, and you'll lose your way. Ainy v'amar blei b'mrechi shem tamnicham shemalach b'derech two tamnicham going the road. Famei dem divtar which shonav divtar between them ruin the surf. They're fit to be burnt up. Shneamar v'yehem halachim halach v'daber. You have Elisha and Eliyahu and Elisha were walking together, speaking as they walked. V'nei recha v'esh v'susa esh. There was a fiery chariot, fiery horses. V'efidum and shem separated between the two of them, and we darshan. Time and Dekadibra, they were talking Vidaber. The pasuk stressed, they were Daber. That's why they weren't burnt up by the fire. Halekadibra, that's what the Mars being Medaik, had there not been talk of terror between them. Ruin the surf, they'd be fit to be burnt up by the fire. So we see, not talking in terror, Tutum walking the street, not talking in terror. They're fit to be burnt up by fire. So what are you telling me? Yosef telling the brothers not to talk and learning like Kasha. Answers the Gemara Nishver. Halemigras Halayune. To learn Be'ian on the derech, you get lost. It's not the malach to learn girsa, to review over one's learning, to get a bekiyistic learning, to get a review. That could be done. We'll pause over here. Pick up the psigas tomorrow. Have a